Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to get up and preach the Bible. And Lord, thank you for this particular subject, Lord, for this message. It's a wonderful thing for a preacher to be able to preach on a subject like your invitation to heaven. Lord, thank you for what's going on in other places on our property, for our children's church, primary church, Lord, also. Lord, the nursery, everything, wherever there's people, Lord. You say where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So you're here, and you're in each of these services, each of these places. Just bless and use the preaching of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Many of you, most of you, have at some point in your life received through the mail an invitation. Some of these invitations are very precious. They're very meaningful. They may involve a family member or a close friend, somebody that you care about deeply, and they care about you. And because of that, something is going on in their life, and they wanted to invite you to attend it. I like the invitations. I don't keep everything that everybody sends me in every card and every note. I know folks that do that. I will tell you this. I very much enjoy them while I read them. And I always stop after somebody sends me a kind note or a kid colors something for me. And one of the things I do is I read it and I think about that person and I love them in my heart. And I always bow my head and pray for them. But some things that you receive are what I would call keepsakes, okay? And I really enjoy these invitations because, again, if you're receiving an invitation, it's usually concerning a big deal in somebody's life. And we received one this past spring that was very precious to me and my wife. You know the story of the stay in the castle. If you come here, you've read the booklet. And if not, we can get one for you if you'd be interested. But the little girl in that story, Lydia, is now a mama. And of course, she stayed in the castle, married a Christian man, missionaries in Mexico. But her daughter, Abigail, what happened to the years? All of a sudden, attending Bible college in California, meets a young man, and I get an invitation to her daughter's wedding. And by the way, she did what mama did. You know what she did? She stayed in the will of God. You know what she did? She dedicated her life to Christ. You know what she did? She waited for the right one. And me and my wife were not able to attend. It was kind of right in the middle of all the COVID nonsense. But in California, you know what I did with that invitation? I kept it. I took it and I kept it. was thinking about the I Love the Bus ministry. I have a file back in my office where I keep some of these keepsakes, and I opened it up and was flipping through them. By the way, saw the invitation to many of the young people that graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School through the years who are now in their 20s and 30s and some of them even their 40s. Man, we're getting old. But I remember when you graduate, I still have your invitation in there. I spotted one in particular just because it's I Love the Bus Ministry Sunday. I'll pick this one out and talk about it. But the invitation to a college graduation from a little girl by the name of Stephanie Pierce. And I can remember the first Sunday, I can close my eyes and literally remember the first Sunday that girl walked up the steps to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and came into our services. Miss Tanya had found her and invited her to church. And you know what? Just like any other typical first time bus teen girl, you know, she was who she was. But you know what? She came in with an open heart and God began to work in her life. And the Bible, you know what? It did its good work. And it brought her to that place of conviction. It got her to that place of understanding. I like that phrase where it says, and the glorious light of the gospel when it shines through. And you can all, if you've been saved, you remember that moment where, you know what, you may have heard preaching, you may have heard this part, that part, but all of a sudden God brings it all together and the light breaks through and all of a sudden, wow, God did that for me. Jesus died for me. That was for me. And that little girl walked the aisle here just as a young teenager and got saved and then, you know, continued to come mostly Sunday morning. And then, you know what? God kept working on her heart. She wanted to come Sunday night and she began to work on her mom and the whole family began to come. And then, you know what? She told her mom, I want to be a part of the youth group. And so she started coming to the youth activities and started coming to teen soul winning. Then the day came, she went and talked to her mom. I want to go to the Christian school, mom. And I'm thinking about all these things as I'm holding an invitation to her Bible college graduation. And I thought to myself, everybody in the world can try to tell me the bus ministry doesn't work. But I'm going to tell you something. Blessed Hope Baptist Church makes a liar out of those people and have for 47 years. Let me tell you something. It will work if you'll work it. It's not that the bus ministry doesn't work. I'm afraid we just got most churches lazy people that don't want to have their weekends interrupted. And so they just want to kind of do the minimum and all of that stuff. Hey, we'll have a bus ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as long as we have people that are willing to sacrifice so that we can have that bus ministry. And so what a sweet thing to read that invitation. And folks, what I'm saying is this. When you get an invitation, it's a big deal. It's special. Hey, somebody sent you something to tell you that you mean a lot to them. Right. We get down in Revelation chapter 22, and if you will, look with me at verse number 16. Here's somebody that thinks you're pretty special. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And then you know what it goes on, it says, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, what? Come. And let him that heareth say, what? Come. And let him that is athirst, come. I love this last phrase. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, preacher, I've never got an invitation from heaven. Do you have a copy of the Bible? By the way, if you don't have a copy of the Bible, I mean this. Stop and see me after church. You will leave here with a copy of the Bible. If we're out of them in the back, I'll give you mine. I think everybody ought to have a copy of the Bible. But if you have a copy of the Bible, God's Word, King James Holy Bible, you have an invitation, a personal invitation to heaven, because that's how much God loves you. I got to thinking about elements, parts of an invitation. So I began to break it down in my mind. This particular invitation in Revelation 22, let's answer some questions about it. Number one, who is being invited? Who is being invited? The last phrase answers the question. Here it is. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the answer is this, whosoever will. You said, preacher, you said it was a personal invitation. Well, you are part of whosoever will. The message of whosoever will is found all through the New Testament writings. Jesus is the great champion of the whosoever will message. Let me remind you that Jesus was not just sent into the world to die for the sins of the world, even though that was his primary mission. But he was also sent here to preach, to proclaim the message of the gospel. In Matthew 4:17, we read, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. In Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, folks, Jesus was our Savior, but Jesus was also a preacher. What was the message Jesus preached? Yes, he preached on the message of repentance. Yes, he preached the message of the gospel. Yes, he preached much on the kingdom of God or the gospel of the kingdom. But the emphasis this morning is not just on what message he preached, but to whom it was preached. You see, the message of repentance and the message of the gospel, the message of eternal life in heaven was not just delivered to a select few, but the message was delivered to whosoever will. You say, preacher, you got some Bible? I sure do. I like it when you ask that. Thank you for asking that almost every service. John chapter 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 14, we read verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We read in John chapter 11, verse 21, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Remember the death of Lazarus? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know what? It seems like Jesus doesn't speak very long before that word whosoever starts appearing. John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know what? Peter finishes the sermon in Acts chapter 2, that amazing sermon where 3,000 people were saved. He ends it with this statement, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you lead somebody to the Lord, if you've been trained at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, one of the verses that you share, a portion of scripture you share, is found in Romans chapter number 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I look at this invitation that we find in the closing verses of the Bible. You know what I find? I find out that the one that is invited, the group that's invited, they're named thus, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Will what, preacher? Will repent. That's what Jesus preached, repentance. Will what? Believe. Will what? Receive. And you know what? I'm here to tell you that if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you're famous or nobody knows your name. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what sins you've committed. I don't care what race you are. I'm telling you this, Jesus died for every single person, all mankind. whosoever will. If you will be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. But God leaves that up to the free will of man. Oh, God wants you to choose him. God did not create men to be robots. And I promise you this, if there is a whosoever will, then there must be a whosoever won't. And you know what that means? The ball's in your court. God sent his son. Jesus paid the price. They've gift wrapped the gift of eternal life. They hold it out to you. Now you have to decide, will you be a part of the whosoever will, or will you be a part of the whosoever won't? Number one, the invitation. The invitation is for everyone. That's who is invited. Number two, who is doing the inviting? Who is doing the inviting? I'm going to take you back to Revelation 22, but let me just expound past that just for a few minutes. Can I say this? God the Father wants you to be saved. He invites you to be saved. Jesus Christ, God the Son, wants you to be saved. Let me say this, the Holy Spirit of God wants you to be saved. Let me say this, the redeemed of all the ages, every person in here that's truly born again, if you were to go to them and ask them, I'm not saved, I wish to be saved, would you like to see me saved today? I promise you that if that person's truly saved, they're going to look at you and say, yes, please, please, I'll go with you. Let me help find somebody to show you. I mean, you want to get a Christian excited, come up and say, what do I have to do to be a Christian? How can I have eternal life? You just made that Christian's day, all right? Say, preacher, you got Bible on that? Thanks for asking again. God the Father invites you to heaven. God wants everyone to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. But that, how many you want, God? All should come to repentance. God the Father wants you to be saved. God the Son invites you to share heaven with him. In John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We read in our text here, if you look back at Revelation chapter number 22, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, come, come. You know, if you've been saved, you probably remember back before you were saved, when you weren't saved. And you remember what it is to sit in a church service and listen to the Bible and listen to the Word of God and listen to gospel preaching, and then the preacher gives. Isn't it interesting what we call it? The preacher at the end of it gives a what? An invitation. An invitation. You know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to give an invitation. You know what we're going to do tonight at the end of the service? We're going to give an invitation. You know what we're going to do on Wednesday night after we teach and preach the Bible? We're going to give an... Yeah, he's on top of it up here. Invitation. We say, what's with all the inviting around here? Well, what we're doing is just echoing what God's already done. He wants people to be saved. He wants you to be saved. So God the Spirit invites you to come. Remember sitting there as a lost person? And you know what? Maybe you didn't hear it out loud. And if you did hear it out loud, come talk to me about it. But you know what you heard? You heard in your heart. You heard from the front. You heard from around you. Come. Come, come. Hey, why did you have to hold on to the pew? Because if you felt like if I didn't hold on, something was going to drag me up there. That's how powerfully God draws people to himself. Now, he will draw you to himself, but he won't put a gun to your head and make you go. He urges you to be saved. You know what? God the Father urges you to be saved. The Father draws you. The Holy Spirit convicts you and urges you to go forward and get forgiven. Jesus said, hey, I'm building a mansion up here. I'd sure like to build one for you. And you know what? The Bible doesn't just say the Spirit. It says the Spirit and the bride. Now, what's the bride? That's the saved of all the ages. And again, every single person in this room that is saved, you know what? They're praying during an invitation. If they think you might not be saved, they're saying, Lord, help them to go. Help them to go. Lord, help them to go. Lord, please help them to go. Help them to take the step. Help them not. Did you hear what Brother Jared preached when he was right? Or prayed. He was preaching a little during his praying, but when he prayed right up here, he said, Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, don't let them listen to the devil. Why do you need all the Christians praying for you? Because listen to me, every good person and every part of the Godhead and every saved person, you know what? They want you to be saved. But you know what? The devil does not want you to be saved. And what he prayed is exactly right. The devil will come alongside during the invitation and give you 57 reasons why you shouldn't get saved or why you shouldn't get, oh, you're going to make a fool of yourself and you're going to be embarrassed. And by the way, I've often said this, the devil doesn't necessarily tell somebody not to ever get saved. He says, just don't do it today. Because if he can get you to put it off for one more day, then he's got a chance in the next 24 hours to snatch your soul into eternity. Hey, you're in a inviting place. You're in a, hey, come place. You're in a just as I am place. You're in a coming home never more to roam place. You come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? We're going to preach from the pulpit what we're going to say personally, and that's this. Hey, you have been invited. And let me tell you who's inviting you. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit and every single Christian in this room. We're all rooting for you and praying for you, and we want to see you saved today. The third part of this invitation, here's another question. Where are you being invited? Okay. So who's being invited? Who's doing the inviting? But where are you being invited? Well, that's why I started our Bible reading this morning in Revelations 22 and read the whole chapter. I mean, go back to verse number 1, folks. You're being invited to heaven. Say, what is this place called heaven? It's a nourishing place. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. One of these days, I'm going to drink out of that river, folks. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every day. Now, folks, maybe that doesn't excite American Christians, because we live, honestly, folks, in the land of plenty. But as I read that, I thought about the two-thirds of our world that lives in poverty, and the two-thirds of our world that some of them, they will be sustained with maybe a handful of rice today, and they don't know what it is to drink pure water, and there's sickness and there's illness, and children go to bed hungry every day. And I thought to myself, man, when a missionary comes and preaches to them about this place, you mean there's a place where there is pure water and it's called the water of life and it flows freely from the throne of God and I can go get some anytime I want? Yes, yes, there's a place, a nourishing place. You mean there's 12, the tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruit, and preacher, anytime I want some, I can? Yes, and you've never tasted fruit like you're going to taste up in heaven. It's a nourishing place. Bible says it's a healing place at the end of chapter 2, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Folks, America today needs healed. America is a mess. America's in turmoil. America's being torn apart from the inside out. You know what we need? We need healing of our nation. Where can you get healing? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. It's a curseless place. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Folks, listen, this whole world is still groaning under the curse of sin. You know, my body, it's growing old because of the curse of sin. It breaks down because of the curse of sin. You know, I was out there yesterday with mowing my grass and running a weed eater and trying to keep the weeds and the thistles and the briars from taking over the little piece of property that we have. You know why all those things grow? Because we live in a cursed world, a cursed place. Let me tell you this, you're not going to have any of those problems in heaven one of these days. I like this, it's a personal place. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of us, but every single one of us is going to be able to see the face of Jesus, and Jesus is going to look into our eyes. And by the way, it says, and his name shall be in their forehead. This is why the devil down on earth during the tribulation period, trying to get everybody to take the mark of the beast. You know, anything that God does, the devil tries to imitate. You know, and so what we see is when you decide, that group decides not to take that mark during the tribulation period. I'm not going to be here, by the way. You shouldn't be here either during that mess. You know what? We're all going to one of these days have Jesus' name in our forehead. I preached a whole message on this, but it's a bright light place. And there shall be, verse 5, no night there. And they and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. It is a never-ending place, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want to say this to the scoffers. It's a real place. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things that must shortly be. You know what? You can say that there is no heaven, but God says these sayings are faithful and true. Excuse me. I think I'll just believe God and ignore you, all right? It's a soon coming place. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then again in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. It's a pure and sinless place. Verse number 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. But wait a minute, doesn't stop. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. It's going to be a dividing place, folks. You know what? Those that come before God and they've never had their sins forgiven, they won't be allowed in this place. But if you've received Christ as your Savior, God will not look down at you and see your sinfulness. He'll look down at you and see his Son's righteousness on you. Hallelujah. That's what's going to get me in. Verse 15 says this, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's where you've been invited. That's where you've been invited. A handful of us guys went down to a men's retreat, and I'm going to tell you something. We actually rented this big, gigantic house that belongs to an individual. This man is a lawyer that lives in Knoxville, and he went on top of a mountain, and we were trying to guesstimate or estimate, but I promise you, I don't know if any of us know for sure, but I'm sure it took millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to put a road up on top of that mountain and to build the type of a place. And you know what? We all went in there, and you got to understand, you know, we're Greene County, Sullivan County, Clay County, you know, country people. And we walk in, pull up there, see this gigantic place built on this cliff overlooking this mountain valley, and we all look around at it, and we walk into this place. And I'm not kidding you, folks. The living room was about three times the size of me and my wife's first apartment. We're talking about the living room, okay? And then we walk back in the kitchen, and it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Ladies, promise you, you don't want this kitchen. You wouldn't want to have to try to clean it all. But a gigantic kitchen, and then there's the downstairs, and there's the upstairs, and there's bedrooms everywhere, and there's. And you know what we all did? We all just kind of sat around for 3 or 4 days, and we're like, is this amazing? But watch this. At some point, it was time to pack our bags, because we weren't allowed to stay there. We just borrowed it for a few days. One of these days, I'm going to show up at a place that's going to make that place look like an outhouse. And you know what? God's not going to say, now you get to just stay here for a few days. He's going to say, I built this for you. I built it for you. It's for all, by the way, it's for all eternity. How long, oh Lord? Lord, can I stay here for a week? No, you can stay here forever. Lord, how about a month? No, it's yours forever. Lord, even if I just got to spend a year here, it would be amazing. No, it's yours forever. It's a never-ending place, and you're invited. You're invited. That brings us down to our last point. One more question. What will your answer be? What will your answer be? Look at verse 17 again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the Holy Spirit. If you're lost right now and you're listening and you'd listen to the Holy Spirit of God, you know what he's saying to you? That preacher's telling you the truth. He's preaching the Bible. God loves you. He sent his Son to die for you. You know what the Holy Spirit's saying? You need to go forward. You need to get saved. The Holy Spirit's standing right up here beside me going, come, sinner. Come, lost sinner. Come become a child of God. Come get your sins forgiven. Come, come. The bride, every Christian around you, I've already mentioned, they're praying, Lord, please help them to get saved. There's one person here. Please help them to get saved. But notice this. Who else has to say come? And let him that heareth say come. Now watch this. God the Father can say come. And God the Son can say come. And God the Holy Spirit can say come. And the brothers and sisters around you can say, come. But you know who's finally got to say, come? You know who cast the deciding vote? The one that hears. And then he says this, and let him that is athirst come. What is that talking about? You know what? The people that are going to go find water are the people that realize they're thirsty. And the people that's going to get saved are going to be the ones that realize they're a sinner. If you come and sit under the preaching of the gospel and you're full of self-righteousness, you're full of pride, you don't think that you have a need, you think you can get into heaven based on how good you are, you know what? You're not going to get saved. But you know what? You're listening to the lies of the devil. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. If you choose to stand before God on your own merits, you know what? You'll stand before God and be condemned to the lake of fire. Because you know what? Everything's being written down in a book. Well, I think I'm good enough on my own. I'm a good enough person to make it to heaven. Well, you know what God's going to do? He's going to open that book and he's going to say, all right, let's start back when you were born. Come on, folks. If every single one of us was true, we know in our heart that we're wicked. Come on. We know that we've had thoughts that we should never have had. By the way, God wrote down every one of them. We know we've done things we shouldn't have done. God's written down every one of them. Now, if you want to show up and say, I think I can make it based on what I've done, he's just going to open the book and say, all right, let's go through it. And by the way, you're going to be standing in the presence of holiness, and none of us have stood in the presence of pure holiness before. And you know what? We're going to realize at that point, our righteousness, even the good things we've done, the Bible said, are like filthy rags compared to the holiness of God. But you know what? I'm going to recommend something. You say, preacher, what about all that stuff that's written in the book? I don't want to stand there. That's why we go to Jesus. That's why we get saved. You know, the songwriter wrote this, gone, 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 gone. Woo! Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. You know, that verse that says, as far as the east is from the west, he separated our sins from us. Think about that. Isn't that something? And so, you know what God is saying? God is saying, you know what? If you'll come to me and you'll trust only in my son and his finished work, his righteousness, that blood that he shed can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, preacher, aren't you worried about that book? No, God, take my book and flip over and see that everything's blotted out with the blood of Jesus Christ. Every page blotted out the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, I thought I could find some dirt on you, but all I can see is what Christ paid, the blood's covered it all. I see my son's righteousness when I look at you. Come on home. Come on home. What will your answer be? Let the him that heareth, you're hearing today, will you also say come? Do you realize that you're athirst? Will you come? Whosoever will, here's the closing phrase, let him take of the water of life freely. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please, no moving around right now. Just sit very, very still, very, very quiet for just a minute. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, while you were preaching, I felt like God was working in my heart. It's almost like I could hear him calling me, urging me to salvation. Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I just don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't feel like I would based on what the Bible taught to me and what it says. But preacher, God's working in my heart. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I can't say that for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Are you sure God invited me? Yes, I'm sure. You sure it includes me? Yes, I'm 1,000% sure. You know why? The Bible says, whosoever will. God wants me? Yes, God wants you. Jesus wants? Yes. The Holy Spirit of God? Yes, listen to him. He wants you. Everybody in this church praying? Yes, praying right now. Lord, if they're here and they're not saved, please help them to be saved. But you know what? We can all want it for you. But you're the one that has to make the decision. I know what it is to come into a church lost, to hear Bible preaching, to get under conviction. I've sat exactly where you're sitting this morning if you're not saved. But I can also remember that Sunday morning when I walked an aisle and I went to the preacher and said, I want to be saved. And I knelt down at an altar and he showed me a few verses and then he urged me to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him for the gift of eternal life. And I did it that day, and you know what? ever since then, I've been able to lay my head down on my pillow, not worry about what would happen if I were to die. I'd love for you to be saved today. What will your decision be? If you're here without Christ, don't ignore the voice of the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless each and every one that's here. Lord, I pray for that one right now who you're speaking to about salvation. Lord, help them as we begin to have the piano play in just a minute, that they'll have the courage to step from their pew to the nearest aisle, come up front. Brother Brian will get either a lady or a gentleman to show them from the Bible how to be saved. Help them to make that decision today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.